Miss Rita's coming to sing, and when she finishes, Brother Jeff Wills will come. And when he see that big tall man stand up, then Miss Nanette will take the kids with the blessings and go out. And you blessings be ready to go, Miss Nanette, okay?
In Psalm 62, in verse 2, it says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not easily be moved." And that's my prayer. I'm so thankful for my salvation. And this world today gets harder and harder to make the right decisions and to always do what you know that the Lord wants you to do. And so I'd like to try in times like these. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Well, it's Wednesday night, and if usually don't have the unsaved here, but if you're not saved, you better have Jesus as your rock, because things are getting ready to change in this old world, and they're changing rapidly. For us who have been here for a while, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. Had an inmate the other day. He came in. He was a big old guy. And he was causing a lot of trouble. And I got my number called, and I was ran down to booking because they thought he was going to fight. And I came running down there, and I was the tallest one of them all. He looked at me, and now he's a black guy, but he was, you know, it didn't really matter much. But he looked at me, and he says, "Why did he bring you down here, Cracker, to whoop me?" You know, and I said, "No, sir." I said, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to love you." And he didn't know how to act to that. So the whole time he says, "Well, what do you want me to do, preacher? What do you want me to do, preacher?" And he just walked over, went into his cell. So it worked out. Praise the Lord for that, because I really didn't want to fight him. I'd be bruised the next day. I'm going to talk about a subject tonight that it's not a really endearing subject, but it's something that I think that we really, really need to think about in our lives. And I'd like for you just to examine yourself, and if you're taking notes, I'm going to have a lot of verses, a lot of information. So write it down, study it, look at home, look at yourself, let the Lord talk to you. The only way, you know, we're not done growing in the Lord. No matter what size you are, no matter how old you are, we're not done growing in the Lord. So I'm going to throw in a little bit of humor because I like humor, folks. If you've ever looked at my Facebook, I like to jam it up with humor. I like to tell jokes at work. I'm not a real serious guy unless I have to be. Now, I pay my bills. I'm serious about my bills, take care of my wife and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? But the rest of it, I know the Lord's coming. And I know he's my Savior, and I'm not worried about too much. But anyway, but I do want to see good things happen to my grandkids. And by the way, that was a blessing today to see my son up here, my grandson up here, singing. And you know, many of you have done this as you're growing up as a Christian. You know, oh man, I'd like to see have the time where I can get, I'd like to see myself live long enough to get married, play college ball. All these things happen for me and things, and have kids and then grandkids. But I think it was super special that I've got to see my oldest granddaughter and oldest grandson sing up here for the Lord. Praise God for that. There was a lion, and I may have told this before. I promise you the message is not the same, but I may have already told you. But there was a lion going through the jungle, asking the animals, who was the king of the jungle? He went to the cheetah, and the cheetah said, "Why, you are, Mr. Lion." He went to the hippo. He said, "Why, you are, Mr. Lion." He went to the giraffe, and he said, "Why, you are, Mr. Lion." And finally, he went to the elephant. He said, "Who's king of the jungle?" And the elephant reached out with his trunk and grabbed him, picked him up, and just slammed him on the ground. Then he picked him up and he slammed him again. And then he took him and he threw him into a big old tree trunk. He went over and grabbed him, took him over to the river and dunked him almost like he was trying to drown him, up and down, up and down. Then lifted him up so he could breathe a little bit, and then up and down and up and down. Then he took him over to a dry spot and slammed him on the ground. The lion got up, he was dazed, he was wet, and he walked right towards the elephant. And he says, "Just because you don't know the answer to the question, you don't have to get angry about it." And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about anger. Anger. I'm talking to me tonight. Hope maybe I'm talking to some of you, but I'm telling you, and you got to admit, this world, people seem to be getting angrier and angrier all the time. People are violent. I work in a place where I see what anger does to people and how it destroys people. I've got an officer over here, a couple of them. I know sometimes when they pick up people, they're angry. They're fighting each other. There's a lot of anger in the world. Turn to Psalms 37:8, please. Psalms 37:8. Psalms 37:8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll give me the recall that I need to preach this message. Lord, may your Spirit work on all of our hearts. Convict us where we need to be convicted, dear Heavenly Father. Make us better for you. Make this church better for you. Continue to be with our pastor. Give him wisdom as he leads us. And dear Heavenly Father, help us to be concerned about souls, about growing in the Lord, about your word, and living for you righteously. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was watching a documentary not too long ago on the Parliament in England. I was just flipping through the channels. And I couldn't believe how violent they were in that parliament, yelling at each other, coming out of their seats, putting their finger in each other's faces and things. And I thought, how do you get anything solved acting like that? What about our own government? Isn't it getting a little rough in our own government? They're not just saying they disagree with each other. They're using profanity. They're using everything. They're saying they wish you were dead. Just all kinds of things. And it's just unreal. I see the results of anger at work. People coming in to the prison, and I get over there and I'll start talking to them. Mainly I go over because I'll be honest with you, I just want to talk to them about the Lord if I can. And a lot of them will ask me, could you get me a Bible? I said, I sure will. And I go over there and I recommend you read the book of John. And maybe I'll even come back and I'll witness to them. Now, I've had them upstairs say, Wills, we need you to be more of an officer and less of a preacher in here. But I said, I've always had permission to talk to people about the Lord, and I thank God for that. Cain was so angry that he slew his only brother. Moses, who we recognize as a great man of God, he didn't go into the promised land because he got angry and slew the rock twice instead of speaking to it like God had told him to. Anger ruins a lot of things, keeps us from a lot of blessings. And I wonder how many times anger has affected a good, independent Baptist church. The very church, by the way, that Christ died for. Anytime we attack a church, anytime we try to hurt a pastor or hurt somebody in the church, we are attacking the very thing that Jesus Christ died for. I always thought, somebody might not agree with me, but I've always thought Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. But then we think he's one of the greatest saints that ever lived. At least I do. And I thought, why does he get to say that he was the chiefest of sinners? And the only reason I could think of was because he attacked the very thing that God loved, the church. And I think we need to be careful about that. What does the Bible talk about? The one thing that God really hates, discord among the brethren, causing problems. And yet, we take it so lightly sometimes the way we treat each other. We can't turn the other cheek when we're offended. We must be careful. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know, a man can become so angry that he becomes a slave to his anger. Nobody wants to be a slave in any way. But people can have so much anger in their system that they're a slave to it. They're just waiting for somebody to say the wrong thing to them and get mad. It's important to understand that anger is an emotion of instant displeasure and belligerence. It is roused by a wrong and comes by the feeling of injury, whether it's done to or intended. It's important to understand that anger is an emotion and it's not always a sin to be angry. Ephesians 4:26, we know it well. Be angry and sin not. If anger in and of itself was a sin, then how could God ever be angry? And in Ephesians 4:26, he was commanding the Ephesians, the Christians at Ephesus, to not sin when they get angry. And this applies to all Christians since the day it was written. Since the day it was written. Now, someone might ask me, what can we hate without sinning? And I thought about it and said, that's probably a pretty deep subject. I better stay away from it for the most part. But let me just say this. We can hate anything that God hates or gets angry about. Anything that God hates or get angry about, we should hate. And by the way, this means that particular kind of sin, not people. God does not hate people right now. God loves them. Their judgment is coming soon enough. And I thought about that. Even Hitler, with everything that he did, hell is a miserable place where he's at right now. If you never trusted Christ, and no one seems to think that he ever has, That's a miserable place. A miserable place for anybody. And if we don't, if we look at the person as instead of the sin, we're not going to care about their soul. We're not going to care about their soul. Here are some ways we sin when it comes to anger. Number one, when you transfer anger from the guilty to the innocent. How many times at work have I gone to a roll call and the person in charge gets up there and chews us out like we're a bunch of dogs and because somebody did something wrong? Why didn't you just deal with that person? Why couldn't you come in and just say, look, this happened, and we all know that we're not supposed to do it, so let's nobody do it. But they come in there and they chew you out. That's not a, you're not a very good supervisor when you do that, in my opinion. In my opinion. That's transferring and taking out your anger on the innocent. There was a guy in the Air Force, and I was in charge of a class that we were in, and we had a lot of people from basic training in there as well. And of course, the idea was I was in charge of the class when the instructor was gone, and that was the only time. And this young man, apparently when he went back to the barracks, tried to sneak alcohol into his barracks. Well, a couple days later, he was in the class. He came up to me and said, Mr. Wills, would you sign a character witness for me? And I said, I can't sign a character witness for you. I don't know you. I know you got to behave in here. What you do on the outside, I don't know anything about you. But the instructor signed the paperwork, made him feel good probably or something. I don't know, because I know he didn't know him either. 2 weeks later, he was caught with liquor again, kicked out of the class, and who knows if he got kicked out of the Air Force. I don't know what happened after that. And the instructor came in and began to chew us all out. Everybody in there, ripping them apart. And I was holding up my hand in the back. He says, Sergeant Wills, put your hand down. I said, no, I'm not going to. I need to talk to you. You can't be chewing us out like that. You know. So he took me outside, told me to meet him outside. So we went out there, and I said, you know, nobody in there has done anything to you. Why are you acting like that? And he took me to his boss, and his boss chewed me out, and then his boss chewed him out after I told him what was going on. But that's transferring anger from the guilty to the innocent. When you extend, number two, when you extend your anger and it leads to revenge. When it leads to revenge. By the way, you could put gossip in that category. When you try to hurt somebody really bad because you don't like them, and you're angry with them and you don't care about them, so you spread gossip. Or when you look for an opportunity just to hurt somebody, maybe cost them their job, because you don't like them. Number three, it's sin when you flare up and you don't know the facts. Have you ever got mad at someone or something just to find out it wasn't true or what you thought and you're embarrassed by it? I have. Number four, when it's disproportional to the offense. Here's a family sitting at home eating a dinner, and the little three-year-old reaches over, and for the second time that week, he knocks over the milk. And the dad rears up and says, you klutz, you're good for nothing. You're going to have to get your act together, and yells at him right in front of the other kids. That's disproportional to the offense. Heard that a long time ago when I was about 21 years old from a pastor, and I've never forgot that illustration. Not that I kept it very well sometimes, but you can ask Jason, I guess, after we're done. There was a salesman once, and his car broke down. It was midnight, and out in the country, it was pouring down rain. He got angry instantly. He goes to the back of the trunk, opens it up, the trunk, and he can't find the lug wrench. He looks around, and he sees a farmhouse with a light on about a quarter mile away. So he gets in, and he starts walking towards this house. The whole time he's walking towards this house, he's saying, that guy's really going to be upset with me, waking him up. He's going to be really, really mad. He may not even have a lug wrench. And he kept walking, and he kept thinking about it, and the closer he got, the madder he got. He went up and he knocked on the door. 2 minutes later, the window upstairs opened and the farmer yelled out, "Who is it?" And he says, and the white-faced salesman was so upset, he looked at him and says, "You can just keep your lug wrench. I wouldn't borrow from you if you were the last person on earth." And he took off back to his car. And we get that way sometimes. We get that way sometimes. We lose ourselves in our anger. Folks, excuse me just for a minute. Matthew 5:22 says that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause should be in danger of the judgment. Now, it's not talking about salvation here, if you keep this in its text. It's talking about when you do injury or you want to do harm or you want to do murder to a neighbor, associate, or even a brother in Christ. You know, that can bring great punishment from our legal system. Not to mention loss of rewards in heaven. Loss of rewards in heaven. I want to look at several different things today, tonight. One of them is, number one, anger controlled. Anger controlled. In Ecclesiastes 7:9, it says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." When the sincerest Christian sometimes feels the impulse to flash anger, you know, we need to step back and say, "Is this what God wants for me? Is this right, God? Am I being righteous in my anger?" But the evil man, he feels the flame, and fire smolders long with him, and they are ready to lash out as soon as somebody fans their flame. There was this poor guy whose car wouldn't start. And immediately, and somebody of you may have experienced this, I did, when I bought my truck and brought it back down from Ohio. I was trying to learn to drive a stick again, and I messed up the stick, and it caught, and the truck stopped. And I hadn't even got started trying to start the car back up, and the guy behind me was slamming on the horn. Same thing for this guy. His car doesn't start, the light. And the guy's blowing his horn at him the whole time, saying, "Get out of the way, get out of the way." Finally, he gets out of his car, and he goes back there and says, "Hey, sir, I'm having trouble starting my car. Will you take my keys and go up there and see what you can do? I'll stay back here with your car and blow the horn and yell at you, you know?" Try that sometime. Pray that God will keep you from such anger. We, as God's children, need to rule our temper before it ruins us. Would you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Just turn to your right a little bit if you're in Psalms. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." What wisdom in that verse. What wisdom in that verse. Say little, listen more. Proverbs 10:19 says, "He that reframeth his lips is wise." James 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all, but if a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." Don't let anger ruin you by being out of control. We need to control our anger. Number two, anger in many cases is a work of the flesh. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. In verse 19 it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." And I wanted you to notice, though, hatred and wrath and strife, a lot of anger involved in those things. And then in 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Many of these fleshy actions are brought about by deep-seated hatred. They are works of a corrupt human nature. And it's just not the body that's at war with God, but it's the soul and the mind as well. A salesman that I told you about that went to the farmer, did he not create his own kind of anger, deep-seated anger? He doesn't know whether the gentleman would have helped him or not. But the whole time he was walking there, when he was thinking about the lug wrench, he got upset. We need to be careful of such things. Anger is a work of the flesh, the soul, and the mind. And then number three, I want us to see anger is a characteristic of fools. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth his shame. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Hasty has the idea of being corn short of spirit. So, in this verse, it's telling us the lack of spiritual guidance will then lead to lifting up foolishness. Anger makes us look dumb at times. I've looked dumb before after being angry, and I realize that usually our wives are very good at pointing that out to us when we make mistakes. We don't necessarily say that to our wives if they, you know, you're getting angry over nothing. You know, we don't say that, but you can look like a fool. When I was in prison, and I used to do the rounds. I'm a transport officer now, but when I used to do the rounds and we have a new guy come in, I says, look, you're going to go with me. This is I Block. These guys are a tough bunch. They've been in trouble before. They only get to come out for 1 hour. And they like to beat on the doors. They like to ask for things in a violent way. And so I says, they're not really angry. They're not really angry. So he went with me and I says, whatever I say, you follow up on it. Okay, just follow my lead. So we're walking around. It's pretty good. We go through one section, then we go to another. And as soon as we get to the other one, the guy is just beating on the door. I'm going to get this or I'm going to hurt somebody and blah, blah. And he's yelling and yelling. And we walk up there and his window's right here. And I look at it and I say, man, doesn't that look rusty up there? We need to fix that. He goes, yeah, it does. That thing needs painted. We need to report that. And by the time me and him get done just playing there, that inmate stopped. You look at him and say, can I help you? And then next thing you know, he explodes again and starts getting angry. He's not really angry. Now, some of them are. Some of them are. They'll act on what they say. Proverbs 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. In this verse, it's saying, wrath holds us down spiritually. Now, Pastor, I know you like short adages, so I have a few of them here on anger. If people that fly off the handle suffer bad landings. That's a good one to remember. Anger is just one letter from danger. And this is the one that I'm kind of keeping to myself. One of the greatest remedies for anger is delay. I like that. Anger can cause all kinds of trouble. These hunters were in deep Canada hunting elk. Six of them. During the 2 to 3 days that they were there, they killed their elk. And so they picked them up and they carried them back to the plane site. When the pilot landed, he saw that they had six elk. He says, we can't take six elk back with us. And they became very angry with him. We worked hard for these, and we are taking them back, whether you like it or not. And they went back and forth, and they all were getting on him. And the pilot says, okay, we'll try it. So they get on the plane, they take off, and they go a little bit, and the plane crashes. The men come out from all the rubble, check to see if everybody was right, and one of the hunters said to the others, does anybody know where we're at? And one of the other hunters responded, I think we're about 2 miles from where we crashed last year. because the pilot knew. Sometimes anger makes you look very foolish. Very foolish. Number four, anger brings its own punishment. It brings its own punishment. Job 5:2, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, ye must do it again. A man is late for a very important meeting. He can't find a parking space. He can't find a parking space. He's looking all over. Finally, he sees a garage to go into, and he pulls up into the garage. He sees the parking attendant, so he drives it right at him, and he says, look, I've got a meeting to go park my car. And he grabbed his briefcase out of the back of his car and started to walk away. And the attendant said, this is self-parking, sir. I can't do that for you. And he became very violent and started yelling at the man. Why can't you help me out? I'm in trouble, blah, blah, blah. He said, sir, I just can't do that. So the man grabs the keys from him and goes back, gets into his car, shuts the door. The attendant goes over, knocks on the window. He rolls the window down. He says, sir, if you're going to park your car, you're going to have to get out of the back seat and back into the front seat. When we get angry, we don't think about sometimes the things that we're doing. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Anger brings with it spiritual punishment. And once again, loss of rewards. And then there's anger stirs up grievous words. Turn to Judges chapter 12. Judges chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. What do I got here? Yeah, 1 through 4. It says here, and the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northwest and said unto Jephthah, wherefore, I'm sorry, I'm not even there. No, am I there? I've lost my place. No, that's right. I'm sorry. Okay, let's read it again. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? And didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them unto my hand. Wherefore, then, are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim and the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Here's a guy, Jephthah, who had an enemy, and he took care of his enemy. He had asked Ephraim to help, but they didn't. They didn't even respond, according to the scriptures. So Jephthah destroyed the Ammonites without their help. But Ephraim did not respond, but guess what? Ephraim then decided to come see Jephthah and insult him. He called them fugitives, saying they weren't unworthy to be considered part of Ephraim or Manasseh. Of course, the insult leads to a battle, and Jephthah ends up destroying Ephraim and the Ephraimites. Do you know that he'd still be alive after that day if he just wouldn't have got mad and got upset and got angry? There's a lot of times where we don't have to say anything. There's no reason to fight. There's no reason to get upset. But sometimes We do, over the silliest things. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And that's exactly what happened. Hey, there was a lady trying to park in a parallel parking lot. She slowly started to maneuver into that parking lot. And a man, very young, in a sports car, pulled up and pulled right in where she was trying to park. She got out and asked him, why did you do that? He says, because I'm young and fast, too bad, and walked away. Well, she got back in her car, and she began to ram his car with hers until she knocked it completely out of the parking spot. And then she waited for him to come back. He came back to her, and he said, ma'am, why did you do that? And he was mad. Why did you do that? And she says, because I'm old and rich. Too bad. How we say things, folks, makes a difference. Anger stirs up a lot of problems, and grievous words can get us into fights and things that we don't need to be in. Number 7, anger should not betray us into sin. Now, I'm going back to Psalms 37:8, and I'll just read it to you. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. No doubt, there are things that God gets angry about. And we should see all sin as disgusting and an enemy. However, we should be aware of the danger of getting angry to the point of sinning, as we've talked about. We are not to experience the kind of anger that takes us into the next day. You know, there's a lot of sin that I hate, and we hate, but you know what? It doesn't stop me from sleeping at night. It doesn't stop me from sleeping at night. I try not to go to bed angry at anyone or anything, because I like my sleep. And folks, we've got to learn that we're to hate things God hates, but we don't have to take it to bed with us. God's taking care of everything. God's in control. I don't have to worry about it. Don't get ate up over things you have no control over. But pray, pray. Which leads me to point number 8. Prayer should be free of anger. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Don't get angry when you come to God. You cannot reverence God in any way if you come with some kind of high and mighty attitude. We must be right with God in order for Him to hear us. In Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, the other day, my boss lost his mom. But she had not died when I was called to his room. And all the other officers were in there with me. And I have a friend in there that he witnesses with me. He's on the transport team too. We witness together. We talk to him about the Lord pretty good. But the boss is not much doesn't talk a lot about the things of God. Neither do the other two. But we scared him a little bit. We scared him a little bit because Heath looked over at me and he goes, "Hey, let's pray for him." And I said, "Okay, let's do it." And I shut that door and I got down on my knees to pray. And he told me, he says, "You should have seen them. They were wondering what you were going to do." And I prayed and everything. And they thanked me and everything like this. But the thing was, if I had anger in my house, if I let that place I work at get to me, how could I ever reach the Lord? If I hated an inmate because of what he's done to another officer, how could I ever reach the Lord if I'm carrying hate and anger in me? Number 9, we must understand that God is slow to anger. And this is good to know. If you would, turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 8. Said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Turn to 86, Psalms 86. Just turn back a little ways. In In verse 15, it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and graciousness, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth." I'm going to repeat a verse that I've already told you about, Proverbs 16:32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit better than he that taketh a city." There is a lady who used to count to 10 when she was provoked by anybody. But later on, she changed her mind and started quoting the first few words, 10 words, of the Lord's Supper. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We serve a holy God. He is a great example for us. We must live holy lives. Anger can destroy that. May our anger be slow, and may our anger be without sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth on anger. And Lord, everybody, I think, deals with it a little bit, some a lot. We flare up when we get out of our comfort zone. We flare up when people do things to us that we don't like. We flare up when our life changes drastically. People try to hurt us. But Lord, help us to remember we've got a testimony. I think of our brothers and sisters in Christ back in medieval times and how they were persecuted for Christ's sake and how they lived. Help us be reminded, Lord, because that they went through horrible things and yet they stood up for you. They're willing to die for you. And our world's changing drastically. So help us, dear Lord, to prepare. Help anger really not be a part of our lives. Help us to hate sin and hate the things you hate, dear Heavenly Father. But we don't have to take that to bed with us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to just care about souls and care about people. Anger is something that I've noticed is getting really bad in this country, and it's going to tear it apart. So we should be in a position now to shine better than ever and to stand for you. So help each and every one of us here be with this church, dear Heavenly Father, its vision. Help it to stand strong for you throughout everything that's going on in this world. And we thank you, Lord, for our salvation especially. We know heaven's going to be our home soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.